Welcome to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, December 2nd, 2013. The Reverend John Reed is preaching. Today's sermon is Go Tell It on the Mountain, the Shepherd's Song. The scripture reading for today is Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 11 and verses 16 through 18.
From the Gospel of Luke, it's the second chapter. It's chapter 2, verses 8 through 11, and then 16 through 18. And it's just what Pastor Bill was talking with Lucas and Ethan about was the shepherds. Let's listen to this portion of God's Word. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Messiah, the Lord." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Almighty and gracious God, we gather together this day to worship, to sing songs, to offer prayers, to hear your word, and to meditate upon that word. Be with us now, and we ask that the meditation of our hearts, the words of this mouth, that they be pleasing and acceptable to thee, O Lord, our rock, our strength, our redeemer. Amen. So when does Christmas begin? Well, if you're in retail, as I was selling shoes for a number of years, Christmas begins actually in March, because that's when we begin to get the items that are listed for the Christmas sales. So we have to start about Christmas in March. If you look around at our society and culture today, Christmas, the first Christmas things that I saw this year came out in September. Anybody else see them in September? Yeah, I mean, so Christmas started in September, right? Or for others, Christmas started, well, depending on which store you went to, either 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock or 8 o'clock Thursday night. And Christmas began. Jeff, let's see some of those signs of Christmas beginning. Here we are. Christmas has begun. Let's get into the store. Okay, let's mob in. What's the next one? Yeah, you know, this is Kmart fighting over towels. Black Friday. And here we are out in the parking lot getting upset about something. But Christmas has started. Oh boy, Christmas has started. What do we have next? Go tell on the mountain. Christmas has started. I don't know about you, but it doesn't feel like Christmas to me yet. And that's okay. Because as Christians, we realize Christmas is not about selling. It's not about goods. Christmas is about the birth of a Savior. And in the church, we have a season called Advent. This is not Christmas season yet, folks. This is the Advent season. We have four Sundays in Advent. Christmas and Christmas season starts on December 25th, and we have the 12 days of Christmas between the 25th of December and the 6th of January, which is Epiphany. That's actually Christmastide, Christmas season. We're now in the Advent season that we build up to. We have a little video about what Advent is all about. Did you expect more? Did it end in expecting more? That's part of the whole idea. We're waiting, we're expecting for that person to come. We begin Advent, and so part of what we're looking at as we get ready is to think about what this means. To think about how we can get ready ourselves for the coming of Christ. We begin thinking about who Jesus is. We begin thinking about decorating our homes, decorating our church. We begin thinking about what's coming up. We begin thinking about, well, Christmas is coming, so what kind of presents will I get my family this year? What can I do? What's going to happen? We also look around and we hear each year people lamenting the fact that they don't do the Christmas pageants in schools anymore. Well, they may do something, but they don't talk about Jesus. They don't have the nativity scene up in City Hall anymore. You listen to Christmas carols on the radio, and it's more like Santa ran over Grandma with a reindeer, or Jingle Bells, or Deck the Halls. You don't really hear many of our traditional Christian Christmas carols anymore. You get on, and there's several TV networks. Hallmark's one of them, and there's a few others that advertise movies of Christmas, all movies about Christmas, all month long. And actually, they began about 3 weeks ago. And you look at them, and most of them, yes, it's about, you know, caring, loving, but none of them really have anything to do about the birth of Jesus. And they come through, and they just get all of these things going through, and we talk about, isn't it awful they're taking Christ out of Christmas? Well, let's look at that a little bit differently. Whose job is it to put Christ in Christmas? Well, I'll tell you, it's not city halls. It's not the schools. It's not Walmart or Target or Hallmark or anyone else. It's not their job. It's not their responsibility to put Christ in Christmas. It's our responsibility. It's ours. The story is not theirs. The story is ours. The story belongs to every Christian. Perhaps that's one of the problems we've had, is that the church has sat back and let culture and society tell the story. And it gets all watered down to, oh, look at the cute little baby in the manger. And isn't that cute and cuddly and warm? And they lose all the rest of the meaning of what's there. It's our responsibility to tell the story. And we're going to look at that over the next few weeks as we go through Advent, building up to Christmas, of how can we tell the story. And today we look at the shepherds. The shepherds who were the first people that God revealed the birth of his son, of the Messiah. We've talked about shepherds before. We know shepherds were on the bottom rung of the socioeconomic scale. I mean, they didn't own property. They didn't have a house. They had maybe 8 to 12 sheep, we find out, through different records and things. Not very many. Some maybe up to 20, but very few things. They traveled around. I mean, sheep are not like cows. Cows eat grass, but they snip the tops of the grass, and the roots stay there. Sheep will go down and get to the very root of the grass. So once they go through a pasture and clean a pasture out, there's no more grass. They've got to move on somewhere else. So they're constantly moving around. So shepherds live in tents. And sometimes where they take the sheep to graze is not their property. Sometimes people get upset about that. I mean, think about it. Think about your neighbor bringing his dog over to your yard every day without a bag. How would we feel? And this isn't just a dog, this is sheep. They were not thought very highly of. When you're out wandering around, you always don't get a chance to bathe. You always don't get a chance to have a fresh set of clothes every single day. They were at the low end of the socioeconomic scale. Now, if God's going to do a great thing, what would we expect? You go to Herod. I mean, the Magi went to Herod. They thought God would reveal to the king of the Jews, what's going to happen? This new king is coming. Let's go to the palace. But God didn't talk to Herod. Well, then the chief priests, the temple. But God didn't go to the temple. Well, certainly the Pharisees, the Sadducees, you know, those that had a social standing, but God didn't go to them. He didn't even go to the middle class. He went to the poorest of the poor. He went to the people who didn't have a whole heck of a lot to celebrate. And these are the people that we need to learn from. And there are several things about the shepherds that reveal amazing things. And the first is, the shepherds were known in Jesus' day and even today about their radical hospitality. Maybe it's because they were out and didn't have a whole lot of their own, and they were out on the countryside. If they saw somebody walking by, they'd invite them in for shelter, for food, for comfort, because they know what it's like to be alone and have nothing. They didn't want anybody else to experience that. So they brought them in. And it continues on today. A colleague went and traveled in the Middle East, and as he's walking around with his Palestinian guide out in the countryside, they saw a shepherd family. And they get out, and the guide introduces my colleague to the people that were there, and it was a grandmother and two of her grandsons who were there. The rest of the family was out with the sheep. And very quickly, she invites them in for a cup of tea, and they go into the tent. It's made of pieces of fabric and cloth and cardboard on the side walls, cardboard down on the floor, and there was one piece of astroturf put down there. The goats that they tended were coming in and out of the tent the whole time. In fact, she's got a picture of him with his cup of tea with a goat sitting in his lap. And she was gracious and generous and delighted that they were there. And he got to thinking, if the roles were reversed, if this lady who doesn't smell exactly the most wonderful, because she probably hasn't had a chance to bathe for a while, and her clothes, although not ratty and disheveled, they're not really in great condition. If she were walking through my neighborhood, would I invite her in for a cup of tea? Or would I just watch her walk by? He said, but that doesn't make any difference to the shepherds. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or you're poor. If you're there, they'll invite you. They'll welcome you. It's radical hospitality. That's what we need to do as a family of faith. We need to be radically hospitable to people who come and visit. We've had visitors that have come to the church in the past few months. We've got people that are going to be coming in. Traditionally, at Christmas time, we get more visitors than the rest of the year. What are we going to do to really make them feel welcome, to make them feel at home? And we've got some people in our congregation who look for people who are new. They look for the visitor, and they go and they greet them. They want to make sure they feel welcome. In fact, I know one lady who gets really upset because sometimes we get a visitor and they go out the door right afterwards, and she doesn't get to them to tell them hello and to welcome them, and she gets upset. I didn't get to them. It's okay. But when they do come and they get them and bring them into Fellowship Hall, introduce them to folks. And it's wonderful. That's radical hospitality. But the question I have is for the rest of us, that when someone brings a visitor in and says, hi, Bill, I want you to meet Joe. And Bill goes, hi, Joe, it's nice to meet you. And then he turns and talks back to the people that he's just been talking to. And what's Joe going to think? Radical hospitality is welcoming Joe and pulling him in to the group that you're with. Letting them know that they're valued, they're loved, giving them something to celebrate the fact that they come to church. Some people come to church now, they haven't been to church for years or at all, and it takes a great courage for them just to get through the doors. And we need to eliminate any barriers at all that would prevent them from seeing that God is love with compassion and grace and hope. So the first thing we learn with the shepherds is we need to be radically hospitable. But the second thing that we learn about the shepherds as well is that God went to those who had very little to celebrate. And the shepherds are out in the fields. They're out there. They don't have anything. They've got nothing. Their life is a misery. There's little hope that their life will get any better. They don't have much hope that their economic status is going to improve. A lot of them just lived on sustenance. But God went to people who had very little to celebrate to show them you are not alone. You are not forgotten. You are not neglected. You are the ones I've chosen to reveal the wonder of the birth of my Son, to give you something to celebrate, that you are not alone, that I am with you. God is with you. We need to remember that. Who are the people today that have little to celebrate? How are we going to carry the message of God's grace and love to those? A couple of years ago, I don't know if it was a phenomenon or not, if that's the right word or not, but something began back east and it spread out to the West Coast, and that was that some people were going into Kmart and paying off the layaway balances for some people that had layaway that were there. Just anonymous, just going in and saying, you know, I know someone has something on layaway, I want to pay, don't tell them I paid, I just want to pay off that to go through. And it spread out until one time, the biggest story was down in Laguna Beach, a car dealer ownership. A man that owned a car dealership down there had heard about it, and he called up the Kmart in Costa Mesa. This was 2 years ago. And he said, I want to pay off the balance of every layaway that you've got under $100. And if it was over $100, I want to put $100 onto that balance. And they laughed at him and thought he was joking. He finally convinced him it was true. A few days later, the manager called back, let him know what it was, and he wrote a check out for $16,000. Giving people who had maybe not a whole lot to celebrate, reason to celebrate. What do we do? We all know the story of Nicholas of Smyrna. Nicholas was born into a wealthy family. His parents died when he was young, but he grew up in the church, became very faithful, very devout, became a priest, became a bishop, and then after his death became sainted, Saint Nicholas. He realized as he was a priest that there are a number of people in his town that didn't have anything to celebrate at Christmas time, the celebration of the birth. So he decided he would use some of his inheritance and he would put a gold coin or two in a sack. And he'd go around to the areas. He knew where the poor were, where people didn't have much, and he'd go and he'd distribute that. And the story goes, one night, there was a window open in a house of someone that he wanted to bless, and so he just tossed the sack through the window. And it landed on a sock. It was on a shoe in front of the fireplace, drying out from the rains that day. And so the tradition began of hanging your stocking at the fireplace in hopes that St. Nicholas would come by. Nicholas knew that God cares for those who have nothing to celebrate and wants to break into their lives to give them a reason to celebrate. So the question for us is, how do we do that? We have our Christmas giving tree, which we give books to, especially young people in Stepping Manor, a lot of whom their family is not able to provide books for them, and so they're able to get books for reading. We've got a couple of members in our church who every year come to me and say, I'm going to give you some money. I want you to buy some gift cards. And I want you to give that to some families or people that aren't going to have a whole lot to celebrate at Christmas time. Give it to them and share with them. But I challenge the rest of us, what are we going to do this year to reach out to those that have little to celebrate? What are we going to do to help them celebrate the fact that Christ is born, that God is in this world? How are they going to know that God cares for them, that God came into this world for them, to give them hope, to give them life, to give them redemption, to give them renewal? Let them know they're not alone in their struggles, but that God is with them in their struggles. How are they going to know that unless we share that story? Which brings us to the third point about the shepherds. The angels came and revealed that unto you, to this day, a Savior is born, the Messiah, and the shepherds went off and told everybody that they saw and went on their way rejoicing, sharing all they had seen and heard. How will they know unless we tell them? Which brings us back to the first thing I was talking about. It's not Kmart's job. It's not Target's job. It's not Walmart's job. It's not City Hall's job. It's not the school's job. It's not the TV. It's not the radio. It's not anybody's job. It's our job, our responsibility to have Christ in Christmas. It's our responsibility to share with others the reality that we have experienced, that God is present in our lives, not just the good and the wonderful, but in the very depths of despair, God is still with us, and we know that because of the birth of a son so long ago. We know that because we've experienced it. And everybody who has come here, everyone who's a Christian, has come to faith because someone else has shared their experience with God with them. For me, it was a man named Harry Lemons. Harry was the manager of the Leeds shoe store that I worked at in Walnut Creek. He was a Southern Baptist. And I worked there for 2 years, and there wasn't a day that went by that Harry didn't tell me, you know, you need to know God. You know, you need to have Jesus in your life. And I got so sick and tired of listening to Harry. I really did. But then something happened in my life. And everything clicked. And if Harry hadn't shared with me about Jesus, I never would have had all that fall together that one day. And I'm here because of Harry. I've been each church I've been at, each life that I perhaps have touched, is because of Harry. We may not think about it, but our sharing with somebody else has an impact. We may not see it. Harry, I doubt, ever saw, whatever dreamt what would happen with me. He ended up transferring out before I left Leeds. He has no idea I became a pastor. He has no idea what has happened. But he shared his story. He shared his faith. And because of him, I have touched lives of other people. At least I hope I have. But if we don't tell them, how are they going to know? We need to tell it and shout it from the mountaintops. We need to be the ones to share the story. When we go out and see people that are celebrating Christmas because they're at Black Friday sales, look what I'm getting going through, we need to find an opportunity to share with them what Christmas means to us. It's not the presents. It's not the wonderful food we're going to be eating. It's not even the fact that our families come in together. Christmas is all about the grace and compassion of God breaking into this world for everybody to know they are not alone, that there is hope, there is love, there is grace. And with God in our lives, we can get through and face whatever comes, and we can be triumphant, victorious. If that's not something to shout from the mountaintops, I don't know what is. We need to be the ones to go tell it on the mountain that Jesus is born. We don't rely on anybody else because God's relying on us. Amen.
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California, or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.